So the title of my sermon is Transformed by Truth, the Power of God's Word in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Four things we're going to look at. God is the creator of all things. God brings order out of chaos. God's word is powerful and transformative. And God brings separation and clarity. God's word is wonderful. God's word is truth. There are people in the world today that want to deny the truth of God's word, because if they accept God's word as truth, then they have to accept that sin is real and that we need a saviour. If they reject the word of God, then they can live however they want, do whatever they want, and in many ways be their own God. But the Bible is God's word. It reveals truth. God has not lied to us through his word. And when God says something, it's true. It's real. It's something that we're meant to build our lives upon. And there are certain foundational truths that we need to believe. The creation narrative in Genesis, it's not just a historical account. It is a declaration of God's power, his creativity, and his intentionality. Our journey this morning will take us through Genesis 1 and the first 8 verses so that we can see how God's truth, right from the very beginning, has the power to transform our lives today. So let's listen to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky, and evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Let's just pause here for a second and let me give you a quick Hebrew lesson. The waters above and the waters below. The Hebrews believed that when they looked at the sky, because it was blue, it was water. And when they looked at the seas and the oceans, that was blue. And they thought that was water too. So culturally, while we may look at this and think, oh, but that's not scientifically accurate, as far as the Jews were concerned, there was waters above and waters below. And it made perfect sense to them. God reveals stuff in the Word quite often to meet us at our point of understanding, to help us to actually grasp some things that would be so difficult for us to comprehend otherwise. And the truth of God's Word is here, and we can trust it and believe it. First point, God is the creator of all things. In Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, the very first verse of the Bible, we are confronted with a profound truth that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, scientists would try and tell you that in the beginning, there was nothing. And one day, nothing got a little bit bored and decided to explode and create everything. And the scientists will tell you that is perfectly logical. Yet it's a contradiction to what God's word says. That in the beginning, God created. Not a random accident, not random chance, not all of a sudden, I think the scientists describe it as a singularity decided to explode. This is a defined action by God. Something that he chose to do. God is not only the creator, he is also the eternal one. He existed before the beginning of time as we know it. Now, I know there are those who struggle with trying to understand how God could always be. And we're never going to understand that. We work on the principle that something is created by something or from something. yet God has always been. We can't grasp it, but it is the truth. And it's all we need to know, that God is. He cares, he creates, and he loves us. The Hebrew word used here for create is bara. The word bara implies creation ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. God is able to create from nothing. In many ways, God is able to do whatever God wants to do because he is omnipotent. He has all power, all knowledge, all abilities. God can bring something into existence from nothing. There's a theologian called Wayne Grudem, and he explains it this way. God is separate from his creation. He is not part of it, for he has made it and rules over it. God is bigger than his creation. I mean, when we look out at the stars, when we listen to scientists explain just how big this universe is, we marvel. Yet God is bigger than all of that. God created everything. That reminds us of his sovereignty. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:16 said this, "For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him." Have you ever looked through a microscope? Have you ever watched perhaps a program on TV where they show you with one of these electron microscopes just how small the atoms are? God created those. He created the very building blocks that make us who we are. The things that give you brown hair. The things that give you blonde hair. The things that make me wide and you thin. My DNA was perfectly crafted by God so that I could be the way that God wanted me to be. Doesn't mean that I don't want to get fit. Doesn't mean that I wouldn't like to lose a few pounds. But God made me. The Bible says, "He knew me in my mother's womb, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And that applies to all of us. We are all created in the image of God. We're not accidents. We are deliberate creations. When we understand that everything, including our very lives, were created by God and for God, it should really compel us to worship him. It should compel us to surrender our lives to him. I surrender all. Jesus at the center of it all. That's how our lives are supposed to be. Imagine an artist crafting a beautiful sculpture. The sculpture itself has no life of its own, no purpose outside the form and shape that the artist has given it. And in many ways for us, apart from God, we have no form, no purpose. But our purpose in God is to love him, to worship him, to serve him, and to tell others about him. Each of us were created with a purpose. We are made for him. And when we recognize that, we are free to live in the fullness of what God has intended for each and every one of us. Second point, God brings order out of chaos. Genesis 1 verse 2 describes the earth as formless and empty, and darkness covering the deep waters. But God didn't leave his creation in that way. Verse 3 tells us, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." The Hebrew word for said is amar, and it covers not just the act of speaking, but the power and the authority of the spoken word. If you think about it, in ancient times, a king or a queen would make a decree, and that decree could not be changed. It was law, it was rule, it was something that was obeyed by all of the people. And when God speaks his word, he brings order out of chaos. It's not just people, but creation itself that responds to the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, it can change and transform our lives. Maybe there's been occasions in your life where it feels like you're going through chaos. Maybe there's been occasions in your life where you've struggled so much, and yet a word of God has come and your life has changed. You've been transformed. The circumstance isn't any different, but somehow you have peace that passes all understanding because you've heard the word of God. God brings order out of chaos, and God does not want our lives to be chaotic. He wants our lives to be lived according to his plan and his purpose for us. He wants us to live according to his ways. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, the theme of God as creator is continued. The apostle writes, "In the beginning, the Word," referring to Jesus, "already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Doesn't it feel like the world wants to extinguish the word of God? Doesn't it feel like the world is happy to listen to everything and anything except the truth? We're living in a Romans 1 world. We're living in a world where people have turned their back against God, where people want to make themselves more important than anyone else. But the most important one that we can ever listen to, that we can ever hear from, that we can ever follow, is Jesus. God is the Word, the Logos. He's the one who brings light into our darkness. He is the one who brings clarity in our world. When we invite Jesus into our lives, there's order, there's purpose, there's clarity. When we understand who Jesus truly is, our life is changed forever. It's transformed. Consider a messy, disorganized room. Let's think about my office at home. "Oh gosh," says my daughter. My office is based on a chaos filing system. Whenever my wife or my daughter ask me to find something, I know exactly where it is amongst the chaos. Maybe some of the other gentlemen in the room can connect with where my brain is. Yep. Now, for my daughter and my wife, they like everything in order. They like everything in its place. They're not obsessive compulsive. They just like to be able to walk somewhere without tripping over half a dozen computers or bits of paper that I'm keeping in case they ever need to print on them. Or, you know, there's loads of litter in my room. But to me, it's not litter. To me, it's organized chaos. Amen. I actually took some time yesterday and removed some of the excess things from the floor that really didn't need to be on the floor and actually needed to be in the bin. There are certain things that I've kept for a long time that I've thought, oh, that might be useful. And then I've discovered that with technology, it's been surpassed, and that cassette deck that I thought, oh, I could play cassettes on, but I threw all my cassettes away years ago, that's finally gone in the bin because I don't need it. I've chosen to try and make some order in my environment. God brings order. Yes, occasionally in our lives, there's still a bit of mess left behind that we need to work through. Occasionally in our lives, there's still a little bit of confusion there that God needs to work on in us. But when we truly walk in his ways, when we trust him in all things, when we, in many ways, organize our lives with God at the center, that's when peace and purpose flows into our lives. Max Lucado put it this way. He said, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. God wants us to bring light into our lives. He wants to shine his light into the darkest areas of our life. He wants to shine his light into the darkest areas of the community around us. He wants to reveal who he is to a world that is living in chaos. God is able. God is willing that he calls us to actually be his witnesses, to be those who speak truth, those who are the carriers of the light so that it can shine in the darkness. Third point, God's word is powerful and transformative. Notice in Genesis 1:3 that God's method of creation is through speaking. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's word has creative power. In fact, throughout the creation account, we can see the repeated phrase, "Then God said, and it was so." The spoken word of God carries with it all of the power to create and transform. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." God sees into our minds. God sees into our hearts. He knows what it is that motivates us. He knows what it is that distracts us. I wonder if we took the next 3 minutes and actually up on screen we displayed some of your innermost thoughts and desires. Would it be a movie that is suitable for all to watch? Would it be PG? Or would it require stronger censorship before showing to everyone else? We may try and convince ourselves that we are okay, that we're not that bad, that nothing is common that the world doesn't think about, that we don't think about too. We need to think differently. There's a verse elsewhere that talks about us being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renewing, that doesn't mean just putting back in more of the old garbage. Tomorrow I could, or even today, I could go back to my office and open up all these bags of rubbish that I've created and just put them all back in at the corners that they were to give myself comfort. But it's not helpful, is it? When we decide to live a changed life, when we decide to allow God to help us clear out the dross and the rubbish, there's no use pouring it back in. Friends, for us, God's word, it needs to be more than just words on a page. God's word is living, it's active, and it's able to bring about change in our lives, and we have to allow that change to continue. It's no point going halfway on the journey and then just stopping because we think, well, I like it here and I'm comfortable here. And if I go any further, then I've got to step away from that stuff and I've got to leave that stuff behind. The problem is we're so busy looking back that we forget to look forward and look upwards to Jesus. Because if we're focused on him, we don't worry about the things that we leave behind. We need a change of perspective, don't we? Imagine a sculptor looking at a block of marble. Now, to you or I, we might look at a lump of stone and think, that's just a lump of stone. Or we might think, well, if I get a hammer and I get a chisel, I might be able to do something with that piece of marble. And it may look odd. It may end up exhibited in the Tate Modern. But it's something that we've created. If you imagine ourselves as a block of marble, God is shaping us, changing us and transforming us into what he has always desired that we should be. And there are times in our lives when it feels like God is coming at us with a massive hammer and the biggest chisel he could possibly find. And there's other times when it's the smallest tool, the intricate tool that carves in some detail that makes all the difference. We're never going to be perfect while we're still here below. But that doesn't stop God from working in us and through us, changing us and transforming us and shaping us into something that is beautiful in his sight. In fact, God's word already describes you and I as God's masterpiece. If that's true, and it must be because that's what God says, why do I still feel like a work in progress? Because I will never achieve perfection until God calls me home. But I need to allow the word of God to shape my life. We all need to allow the word of God to shape us, to mould us, to transform us into his image. The preacher and author John Piper said it this way: the word of God is not a dead letter. It is living and active because God himself stands behind it and is ever at work in the world and in our lives through his word. When we engage with the word of God, we open ourselves to the transforming power of God's word. Final point. God brings separation and clarity. Genesis 1:6-8. Then God said, "Let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And this is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. And God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. God separating the waters. As I've already explained, as far as Hebrews were concerned, the sky was water. But there's an act of definite separation here. There's clarity. There's a structure to the creation that God has made. And God's work of separation is a recurrent theme throughout Scripture. Separating light from darkness, day from night, land from sea. And eventually he calls us, his people, to be in the world, but not of the world. He calls us to be separate as well. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Apostle Paul urges believers, "Therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you." What are you touching that's worldly, that you shouldn't go anywhere near? What is it that you're allowing to be part of your life that brings no glory to God and actually distracts you from following God as you should? This separation, it doesn't mean isolation from the world, but it does mean living with a completely different set of values and priorities. It means living in a way that reflects God's kingdom here on earth. Think about a gardener pruning a plant. The gardener will cut away the dead and the overgrown branches to allow new growth to occur. In the same way, God separates us from the things that hinders our growth so that we can flourish, so that we can grow. Francis Chan put it this way: lukewarm people do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they never have to. I'm mindful of the words of Jesus in the book of Revelation when he talks about the church of Laodicea. They are lukewarm. And the word that's used there in the Greek, Jesus vomits them from his mouth. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I know that there are some people, like my wife, for example, who likes their cup of tea to cool down a little bit before they drink it. But she will never drink lukewarm tea. And I've never, when I've been out, gone to a coffee shop or a restaurant and heard someone order a lukewarm cup. We just don't do it, do we? I mean, personally, if I go somewhere like Costa or McDonald's and order a coffee, I expect my coffee to be hot. Sadly, many people don't expect that, and that's why if you go to McDonald's, they have a warning printed on the cup that says caution, hot. A woman spilled her coffee in her lap when she was driving. That's right, in America, there's a woman who sued McDonald's because she spilled her coffee in her lap while she was driving and she burnt herself, and she blamed McDonald's. There was another famous case in New York where someone bought a coffee in McDonald's and tried to drink it straight away and it was hot, and they They burnt their tongue and their mouth. And again, they tried to sue McDonald's. When is it that common sense disappears? As I say, if I buy something, I want it hot. And Jesus actually wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire.
Yep.
He wants us to proclaim the truth with enthusiasm. I mean, what's more likely to promote a response from an ungodly world? We go and just talk about how God loves everyone, or we explain the reason why Jesus came. See, there's a difference. It's described as the great physician. Why? Because we're sick, we're damaged, we're hurting, we are broken. That's why we need a saviour. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God is love. But that is meaningless to a world that doesn't understand why they need to know God for themselves. When we allow God to bring separation and clarity into our lives, when we make room for his presence, he gives us the opportunity to share who he is to others. So in conclusion, the creation story, it's not just about the origins of the universe. It's all about God's sovereignty, his power, his desire to bring order and clarity and transformation into our lives. And God is still speaking today. His word still has the power to create, to transform, to bring light out of darkness. So how do we respond? First, we need to recognize that God is the creator of all things. We need to recognize and surrender to his authority and to the truth of his word. Second, we need to invite God to bring order out of the chaos that we might be experiencing. Third, we need to engage with his word daily and allow it to shape us and transform us. And finally, we must be willing to let God separate us from anything that hinders our walk with him, that our lives are distinct and set apart for his glory. Friends, this week, if there's any area of your life that feels formless, that feels chaotic, invite God into that space today. Ask God to speak his word over you. Ask him to bring light. Ask him to bring order. And as you spend time in his word, ask God to reveal himself to you in new ways, to help you understand more. And more than anything, be willing to allow God to do the work of separation in your life, pruning away anything that doesn't belong. And as we do that, we will truly experience the transformative power of his truth at work in our lives. Thanks for listening. God bless you.